I am unashamed. What about you?
This is breaking
Jace
news.
This is breaking news.
Though. I'm embarrassed to even bring this up, but since it went, as they say, viral, I will bring it up. Somebody on Facebook declares that Uncle Si passed away, and it went viral, which I have to explain all these terms to Phil because he's not familiar. That means like
I've died several times. I've been in prison, and none of it's been true, but then Si died. He died here 2 or 3 years ago.
He had a baby.
No, this just happened. They found him in the woods.
He was unresponsive. Yeah, I read it.
Yep.
I was in Missouri. It was last week.
Well, Jay came over to my house, your son-in-law.
So clarify before you go any further, Si's not dead.
Well, that's what Jay came over and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know Si's alive." And I'm like, "What happened?" Because the way he said it, I thought
something happened.
Oh, he's
like
in the emergency
attack,
room.
Right. He's got coronavirus.
And like, don't panic. He's alive. You know, when somebody says, "Look, I just want you to know everything's okay," well, that means something bad happened.
Why would you pick a man like Silas Robertson multiple times and say he just died?
Well, because look at Si. It looks like he could keel over at any minute. I mean, they're just shooting in the dark here, but, you know, Si's looking like he, you know.
You know,
usually you have far more fame than Si has, or me or anybody else around this place, that your death would be like a whoa. It, you know.
I don't know.
I don't
Si's
think
pretty
my
famous.
Passing is going to be earth-shattering, nor Si's.
Well, I don't know. People,
it'll make the news.
I tell you, I changed my perspective on Si when we went the last event we did, which was recently, when we went to Richmond, Virginia. And I kid you not, I saw at least 10 women basically throw themselves at Si.
That is scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
The question, Dad, is what
for
is.
For womanhood, I mean.
What's wrong with womanhood in America when you're throwing yourself?
And I mean, look, it didn't matter the race, all different races, mm-hmm. sizes, ages,
shapes.
Look, some of them cried, you know. There was a stewardess, just tears were straight. She just said, "I am just absolutely in love with you." And of course, I said, "Yeah, I know." Which you. He said, but and then
well, come here, darling. Let me take a
to
picture.
To Si's credit, he would immediately start talking about his flaming redhead that he's married to, and the last thing you want to do is rile her up. So I just wanted to say that Si's fine. You know, Willie, typical Willie, because I noticed now they're selling a Duck Commander. They have two T-shirts.
No. Well, there's two about Si, but there's six total ones. Another one is about. The king or so the founders of social distancing. I noticed they had the Duck Commander symbol.
So now,
which I guess is Dad kind of.
Duck Commander is selling. So here's
so
this
we're
is
in
our
viral
world.
T-shirt.
Yeah, this is our world. Somebody makes up a story about Si.
Are you supposed to get at least our permission to do this stuff? That's going to make a T-shirt about you? Yeah.
Phil, we're way past that. Willie,
tell me about
he ain't checked with me about anything yeah. in years.
This is your son.
Maybe
this
a few
is
bucks
the
in it. Yeah, I figured, well, we're going to use your likeness over here and make T-shirts and get them all over the country on social distance, you know. Well, I would think, well, give me a – well, what's what they're paying?
I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because Willie
– take that out with your son.
It's like he told me, he said, well, I made you famous. And I was like, well, how'd you do that? He's like, because you didn't believe that the TV show would work. I'm like, okay, what's that going to do anything? He said, but I did.
And so his point is –
we all, when they said, would they pitch the show, do you want to do the show, everybody looked around, well, you know, we'll get back with you. So they leave, the ones that want to do the show, the New Yorkers and the Los Angeles, California crowd. So when they left, y'all's question to me was, what do you think? And I said, I don't think it'd work, a bunch of rednecks shooting ducks. I said, people are not going to watch that. I said, however – I did have a caveat. I said, however.
I don't remember the caveat.
I said, what if God is what if God is behind it? You don't remember me saying that? I said, what if God's behind it? I said, if that's the case, I said, it'll go ballistic. I said, so I'm not ruling out that he might have had a...
It went ballistic.
I mean, I remember the day Si said...
I don't think it'll work unless God's behind it. Then you can't stop it. That's what I said.
I mean, speaking of Si, I do remember the first day when he got the director out there and said, hey, you're not directing this. And we were like apologizing for Si, our crazy uncle. And he's like, God Almighty's directing this. I remember that day thinking, and it kind of made me relax. I thought, you know, Si's probably right. I mean, it goes into what you're saying.
I know we've converted a lot of people since the show came on. So, you know, it was a pretty good plan. Not of my doing or any of our doing.
One of the shirts says, God's not dead, and neither is Uncle Si, which I thought was catchy, but also, you know, mentions the Almighty. And then one of them is a picture of Si, which doesn't really look like him, but says, hey, boys, I'm not dead.
he actually dies every 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody comes up and says he's dead.
First I've heard of this, you know.
No, they sent him. They've got it all. Somebody said, no, they've flown him to, you know, the bigger hospital.
There's been three
for a person who doesn't have a computer or cell phone, you sure are in the know about... Viral conspiracies.
Hey, two words, Miss K. I mean, that's all
that
I need
what
to
it
say.
Is?
Yeah.
Well, I know some people that y'all don't know. So, I'm blowing smoke. I don't know anybody other than y'all.
Well, it's so weird. You were starting talking, it feels like, yeah, I heard. I was like, how would you hear it?
Somebody, he hadn't heard the latest, but the one Dad's referring to about 2 years ago. So someone said Uncle Si was going to appear at their event. And it was within driving distance of here. And they had never, unfortunately, they had never talked to Uncle Si about him appearing at their event. But they were advertising him. Well, then it gets down to the event. They're doing, all the people show up, and they're like, where's Uncle Si? And so somebody at this event said, oh, he was in a terrible car accident. So then that went viral. But Si didn't even know anything about it. And, of course, once they tracked it down, they found out somebody just lied to cover their own rear. About, you know, saying they booked him when they didn't. So, you know, it's just a lot of crazy stuff that you get into.
That's a pathetic thing.
So I guess I'll have to say, because I will save the emails, duckcommander.com, because some of you are going to say, I got to get that shirt. So go there and check it out. I think you can pre-order them. So we're not really shilling for Willie, but you're going to ask me now.
We will get zero.
We will get no money. Just know that.
So don't think we're trying to sell you something.
No, it's not us. But I know you're going to want it. I probably will wear one just so you can see what
Willie will appreciate it. But I have to give Willie credit. You know, he has a compound. I mean, he's right across the street from me. So he's got this pond that he turned into a lake. It was a pond. He made it a lake. He built a golf course around it. And he stocked the lake full of fish. He has a tennis court. You know, basketball court. Well, now I've noticed since the coronavirus has come out, the whole gated community, which we now have because we have a gate because of the show. Well, this is now the playground.
Oh, there's also four golf holes on it. Don't forget that.
Well, that's what I mean. The guy I mentioned.
Did you say golf?
Yeah. But he's got it where it's actually 9 holes. And he's got people, you know, it's just like you pull up to if you go to some nice golf place, you know, there's people all the time working. I'm looking out there. There's somebody working out there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his tee boxes are nice.
He's got a couple of guys that work for him that are tremendous. So, yeah, they stay busy.
Yeah. So, basically, during this, you know, just stay at home. I mean, what is it?
We do have a playground.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay. So now I'm like, we're brothers. I've tried to stay out of there as much, but now I'm like,
you're droned.
There's nothing else to do.
So yesterday we did a video over there. Stone saw him and he ran over and got the phone. He wanted to get a video of it.
He told me about that.
Well, he had it, and he had the one thing they saw. There was two bass and they're spawning. So it was just right there on the close to the bank, but their backs were literally sticking out of the water. I would say 10-pound bass.
Yeah, they're in there that big.
And so I couldn't believe it. They were just right there on the bank. You could see them because they were spawning. But, yeah, they had Si over there. Of course, Si's doing a little, kind of like yours. So Dad's doing a in the quarantine with Phil, by the way, if you want to check that out on Blaze TV, which is sort of a, I don't know what you call it, Dad, basically explaining how you've been doing the social distance lifestyle for 40 years that we talked about before.
So. Basically, if you just want it, no one said this about it yet, but it's – how to make God your hiding place.
I like that.
I like that.
All right, that's good.
That's just off the top of my head. They told me about it. They wanted to. They said, "Well, have things changed for you since the coronavirus?" I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "No, see it. I'm already under quarantine, lockdown, social distance, or whatever you want to call it." I said, "I retreated years ago."
You have a berm, a river,
it's
all,
right,
the way
water all the way around.
What most people don't realize is where we're sitting right now and carrying on this conversation. Where we are, as we have now about 1,500 acres that the Robertson clan owns. All woods, all. Out of that 1,500 acres, right now, today, there's about 15 to 20 acres of the 1,500 that is actually dry ground. Yeah, everything why, else is flooded, right. Everything.
That's why nobody wants it.
That's why nobody wants it.
Correct.
So that kind of land, people don't go there.
Right.
Because now you have to go by boat.
Right.
Well, you'd have to.
You
have
couldn't
a boat.
Build a house.
You'd have to know have a boat and know how to get there.
Yeah. People ask me how my life has changed during this, and I say, well, I went from a germaphobe to a genius.
That's right.
Seriously.
That's right.
Because now everybody that always
nobody
used to make
to
fun at, of me, because I'm not a touchy feely guy. You know, I'm like a head nod will work. I love the Japanese custom. You know, you just like. I mean, they do a little more of a bow, but a head nod's all I need.
But there's no fluids changing. There's no little – by fluids, I mean particles
in
the air.
I know what you mean.
You nod your head, there's no particles, you know.
You have a graphic way of explaining things that make me almost nauseated.
You just throw up in your mouth.
Yeah, in normal conversation.
Turn your head, put up your elbow to cough. I mean, but don't let your hands touch your face. You're going down.
You just touched your face.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I just washed my hands.
And you did it again.
But I'm just saying, wash your hands every 15 minutes, and they've got it all down on how to survive. But if you pull back from being around a lot of people, now I've had these speaking engagements and all that, you know, but you're back in the back, but meet and greet. You're shaking the hands of – we've sat there for hours doing that.
Well, some of that – look, my hypocrisy only goes so far.
During this event, the coronavirus, the pandemic – I can understand why they would say you might ought to just retreat a little. Retreat.
Well,
so I retreated. You know,
what the show
mainly because I didn't want to get involved in all the world.
Well, you're in the age bracket though. That's
sure.
Concerning.
Also. Well, and what the show is going to illustrate is a lot of mom and dad's lifestyle, which they picked up from their parents, and they've carried on a lot of the traditions, which I want to know as well, and I want to pass on to my kids and grandkids. How to can stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do and live off of land or a garden or a lot of different things that are still really good. You know, I thought about back during World War II when everything was rationed, they had what they call victory gardens. And so, you know, the whole country is like it is right now. It was war effort, lockdown. Everything was going to send stuff to troops and, you know, supplies. So everybody pulled together and said, we got to have gardens everywhere. So they turned every golf course, every park, turned into a giant garden.
Yeah.
And I read yesterday they were producing as many vegetables, just people, as all of the farms put together.
See, think
I mean,
about,
it can be done.
Think
you know?
About it like me. I never even really thought that seriously about it or that long about it. But you say you don't go shopping ever. No, I haven't shopped in 40 years.
Phil, you've never shopped.
I've never shopped.
Well, he probably did. That's,
I've never
maybe
shopped.
When you were young. I don't know.
Nah. I've never shopped. But Dan is the man that
but
Ms.
you
K
have a
uses.
Shopper.
We have a shopper for things, Miss K, you know, essentials.
That's right.
You know, cornmeal, that flour.
You name essentials, and the first thing on the list was cornmeal.
Well,
that's when you know there's a lot of different
fish can be broiled or over stick, you catch it. We got fish coming all
you
the
know
time.
What's funny is Willie said, I went to the grocery store the other day and bought the essentials, and I thought, I was fixed to say, oh, did you find toilet paper? And he went cornmeal and peanut oil. That was the two. I was like, that's it. He's like, that's all I bought.
The boy, right, he learned well.
He did. Let's take a quick break and we'll jump back in. So one of the issues, of course, with men is, I guess with women too, is...
Do women lose their hair?
They do, yeah.
I didn't know that.
They have thinning hair, just like men do. It's usually not quite as severe, and you rarely see a bald woman, I guess. But men, of course, you can go... It's worse with males. There's no.
My wife has thin hair because she buys all these products that try to make it fuller or whatever.
Right.
And I told her, I was like, hey...
Thicken it.
That's optional with me.
Well, it's part of it is because it's a hormone issue. That may be why women do better with it than men. I don't know. I don't know all the science behind it. But I do know that our friends at Keeps are trying to help you guys, especially you guys, and I guess maybe the ladies, keep your hair, which is kind of the idea behind their name. So you go to their website, and they tell you about the hair loss treatment. They have some FDA-approved treatments for you there. So check them out. If you're losing your hair and you don't want to lose any more, go to keeps.com/door. And that's going to give you 50%. Go to keeps.com/door. That's going to give you 50% off your first hair treatment because you heard about it on our podcast. So it's keeps.com/door if you want to check it out and keep some more hair. Yeah, so, and you can make your own cornmeal because you can grow corn and then grind it up. So, I mean, you know, so I'm saying it's everything you think of it, but people that live in a large city, which we've been saying for years, that's not a good idea. I mean, we go sometimes we have to, but that just seems like a bad idea. I mean, we got a big country.
Not good. It's not healthy.
You have no way. This happens to you and you're in New York City. You talk about the bind.
Well, Thomas Jefferson's old line on it. Jefferson said, I think, as long as Americans will be happy, as long as they have open lands to go to. At that point, they just thought it never ended.
Right.
But he said, but if they ever get piled on top of one another, as these European cities where we came from, they'll become as corrupt as we are. But he had a point.
He had a great point.
But I think it's more about they're just confined. And because you look at where's the worst place in Louisiana? Well, New Orleans. Because a lot of them's like, hey, we're just going to get drunk, you know, to heck with the virus. Then all of a sudden, the one got it, five got it, 20, 30, 100, 150.
All of our casualties have been that one area. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're all combined. But on the germs issue, I mean, I think back to when I was a kid. I mean, we had cow patty fights. And, you know, I look back at that and think,
We were wormed every year.
I mean, I've been in swamps.
That tells
before.
You something right there.
I've gone frog hunting before where I got home and I'm like, what is this? And I look in the mirror and I actually have a leech connected to my body that I had to get my wife.
The powers that be. I think I mentioned it one time on this podcast. I might not have, but they researched the polio virus. That came through when I was a boy. Yep. That was the big deal. Not cancer. Yeah. It was polio. Yeah. And they found, as they researched it later, when they finally beat it back, they found that rural people never got it. The ones that played in the dirt and they had developed, they finally decided that they had developed a natural immune system to things like polio. I think one of the problems on this coronavirus while I'm there, and someone may, they'd look at me and say, I bet he knows what he's talking about. I'm just saying.
You look like a physician.
Every doctor that I've talked to, and some we've converted, and I've run into one every once in a while, you know, the old prostate trouble, but I ask them, and every one of them said the same thing when I ask them, do you think that too many antibiotics are being dispensed? Do y'all dispense too much of it? And everyone I've asked that said, no doubt about it. What I'm saying, Al, is during a pandemic or when the next one comes, and when this one is over and whatever, you say, well, if you're already dispensing too many antibiotics, it's lowering the immune system of the population so that when a viral infection comes along,
more people are susceptible.
Look, you got a little cough, you have a cold. Well, you don't have to give them antibiotics. Look, it'll be over in 3 or 4 days without any complications. Most people get on past the common cold or they get over the flu. Most people do.
Right.
But like for sniffles, a little bit of sniffle, they'll give you some antibiotics. Yep. I just think that might be one of the reasons our immune system is not as good as it could be.
I think you're right. Look, we're right now, as we're living through all this in Louisiana, because we have a ton of pine trees here in North Louisiana. I mean, every one of our trucks, how much pine pollen is? Oh, I mean, it's an inch deep.
Oh, yeah. My eyes were kind of matted up last night.
So I'm saying we walk around. So that's going through your system. Of course, you're going to get clogged up, you're coughing and wheezing, and then everybody's like, oh, they got corona. No, we just got pine pollen this much on my truck, you know? And so, yeah.
My back porch, we have to put sheets over all the furniture.
I mean, because can't get it out of there.
Well, yeah. If you don't do that, right. you'll be cleaning that. I mean, you might as well just throw it away and start over.
I've thrown it away before.
To try to explain that to people, when people say, oh, yeah, my allergies.
I bet
allergies.
People in Georgia know about it because they have a lot of pine trees there. I guess it's the same thing.
I don't know.
But look at a pine tree right now, and it's just angry looking. It's just those yellow pods are just, and it's just raining.
It seems worse this year for some reason.
I don't know, Wesley.
I have to turn my windshield wipers on to remove it off the windshield.
I hose my whole truck down today.
Look at my shoe. If I take my shoe off, you see, look, that's pollen.
That's just from walking around.
That's from walking around. You know, I mean,
you've given a little update on how the coronavirus works. It's like little particles of mist. It's like a mist.
Because you can't see it except where it congregates.
Yeah, you don't see the pollen falling. But that's where it goes on surfaces. Well, if that were the coronavirus on that shoe or on a hard table or on a piece of stainless steel, it stays there 3 or 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. Well, you come along and lay some. Touch it, well, then you take your hand and
here we go.
There you go. So, but you wouldn't even know it was there.
Wouldn't know it was there.
Microbes. So we're going to do a few questions today from you guys. You sent us a lot of great questions. And a lot of our biblical discussion comes out of things that you're asking us because we basically want to speak into what, you know, we've been studying John and we'll continue to do that. But sometimes we like to just dive into what you guys are thinking. And a couple of lighter questions we'll start with today, Jace. And I thought this would be interesting because you can tell the story about Mountain Man. So one Bob sent us a question, said, my question is about Mountain Man. I never hear anything about him since the TV series ended, which why would you? Hope all is well with him.
That wasn't very nice.
What I'm just saying, I mean, Mountain Man is a guy living in, on Shinny Lake. He's before the show. I mean, after the show, he's not going to be doing a whole lot of stuff. He does have, he does have a radio show that goes out. It's every Tuesday because I've been on it a couple of times. And,
really? You did? He's asked me to do it several times.
No, I've done it a couple of times.
I've never done it.
But he has a wide internet audience, so I don't know how to tell you how to find it, but you can Google it. But Mountain Man is doing well. I ran into him fairly recently, and he still does a lot of appearances. Mountain Man's kind of I call him he's the boat and gun show circuit. You know, he does a lot of those kind of things. So.
Mountain Man.
He was Willie's air conditioning.
He's like an electrician.
Yeah, air conditioning repairman. So that's how we kind of came about. Willie's like, we got to get this guy on the show because he really talks.
Well, I remember him, Willie, saying, look, this guy who just fixed my air conditioner, y'all need to put the camera on him. And they said, what's his name? And he said, I think it's Mountain Man. And they were like, for real? Like, that's all I know him.
Well, you study with him.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking.
Because he fixed Willie's air conditioner. He started being on the, I think this was before the show, though, when I started studying.
You may have. He was on the first season. The first episode he was on, I still remember it, was the garage sale episode. He bought the stuffed squirrel.
Well, I just mean, I remember him coming to me and he said he had some questions about the Bible, and I said, well, look, here's what we'll do. I said, you come by Duck Commander, because every time somebody would ask me about a Bible study or, I would say come Duck Commander because I had to sit there for 8 hours a day building duck calls, and I actually welcomed people coming and sitting there. We did that for years when we were down here. People would show up. I'm like, have a seat, because, you're trying to break up the monotony.
Yeah.
Well, Mountain Man showed up at Duck Commander, and he like never left. He became a fixture. This is before we were filming. I'm you know, 100% sure now that I'm reflecting back on it. So basically, every day he would ask a question. He would tell some stories, you know, but then we would have a biblical, you know, discussion, and I shared Jesus with him. He kind of got into his past and, you know, all the, you know, it's like everybody else, all the messes that have occurred and the broken relationships. And
I remember it went on for months.
But, you know, it now it doesn't surprise me because everything that happens is slow.
You know,
until this moment, he left one day. Because he was real quiet, you know. I mean, I went through Jesus again. Because I literally went over the same thing over and over. And it went on for almost a year. And he called me, which was weird because I didn't even know he had a cell phone. And I sure as heck don't remember giving him my number. But, but he called me. And it said Mountain Man. So I was like, did he get my phone and put his number? Which I think he did. He put his number in my phone and put Mountain Man. And then he called me because I had no activity with him. So I remember looking like I didn't put his name in my phone, but he did, which was fine. You know, I have a passcode now, so that'll never happen again. But
oh, Mountain Man, hang on, hold that. We'll let you visit. Let's take a quick break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0? My annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee. Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
So he calls me up, and I'm like, hey. And he doesn't say anything, which is unusual. No guttural utterances. I said, Mountain Man, did you put your name in my phone? That's what I was getting on him about. I thought he was playing a trick. And he said, I need you to baptize me right now. That's what he said. And I said,
when you confronted him about the phone, that was his answer.
I said, well, where are you at? He said, I'm in your backyard at your pool. I said, man, I'm not even home. So I called Missy and I'm like, don't panic, but Mountain Man's in our backyard. I said, and he's broken up. Because then he just...
Oh, so he was like emotional then.
Oh, then he just lost it. And which was really kind of just moving.
It's powerful, yeah.
And
I tell you what, he's been here ever since.
Oh, yeah.
So
it was a really beautiful moment, you know, for two such ugly guys as me and Mountain Man, and we invited a few friends back there. And I mean, I'm telling you, it was so shocking because he never gave any impression of that he wasn't saved or that he would just ask questions. I would
share. Just have a conversation.
That's really, really it. I wasn't trying to, you know, in quotations, convert.
What Jace is trying to say is Mountain Man is a lot smarter than he sounds.
Yeah, he is. Well, and look, so I back then, before I came to the show, so I was still working at the church. And so somebody handed him a note and said, Mountain Man got baptized this week, you know, because he had been coming to Whitesville Road. So I got up to announce. I said, hey, great news, everybody. And then I realized when I looked down at the thing, I have no idea what his real name is. No. I mean, I'm about to announce him to the church. Right. I said, so look, this is, you know, there's 800 people here. It's a Sunday morning. I said, hey, good news, everybody. Mountain Man got baptized. And everybody claps, you know. So I said, Mountain Man, are you here? And he said, yeah. And he was in the back, and he stood up. And I said, what's your name? Because I know it's not Mountain Man. And he went, Tim Girardi from the back. He just hollered it out across the thing.
I wouldn't have known.
Everybody just busted out.
That's his name?
His name is Tim Girardi.
Oh, I learned something today.
Girardi?
Yeah, and he has a book called, which you need to check out. It's very funny. It's almost like a little small gift book. But
he
it's,
wrote a book?
Yeah, it's called Keeping a Slow Profile. That's the name of it.
Who knew?
But it's funny. It's got some funny. I learned a lot about Madman I didn't know.
A few months ago, I was at an event, and there's a few hundred people there. And they said, we got somebody to introduce you, you know. So I'm backstage, and I hear, well, and I thought, that sounds like Mountain Man. I looked out there, and I thought, they have a Mountain Man lookalike. Because I didn't know he was going to be there. I mean, we were way off somewhere, you know. And he was like,
man, it was him.
It was Mountain Man.
They did the same thing with me and Si in Minnesota.
And look, he after about 3 minutes, I just leaned my head out and said, hey, that's good.
Everybody laughed.
Oh, yeah. Because he was like, well, let me tell you about old Jace. But, I mean, it was 3 minutes just to get to that point. And I'm like, are you going to introduce me or roast me? Because this is, you know, it's like a slow roast, you know.
Well, that's what I said about his book. I said, you know, it's a small book. It's probably about a 45-minute read if you just read it. I said, but if you read it as Mountain Man speaks it, it'll take you half a day, you know, just to read the whole book. Yeah. So anyway, he's doing well, which is all good. One more. Someone says they asked about my ink work, which I guess is now the common term for tattoos. What? And I don't know if they've just seen it or if I mentioned it at some point on the show. So I have two tattoos that I got at 16. I was 16 years old. And
so what was your thinking? I think I'll have someone indelibly write in ink owl on my forearm.
Well, it's worse. It's
on
worse
the top
than,
side. What?
It's worse than that, Dad. So three of us got together heavily drinking back in that day. I'm 16 years old. You know, a bottle of something. And so Greg Epinette, our old pal, he'd given himself a tattoo, took two needles and tied them together with thread, and then he's dipping them in ink and gave himself a tattoo. So me and Bubba, my friend, thought it's a great idea after heavily drinking to let him then give us tattoos.
Oh, so Greg gave you that?
That's Greg Epinette's work right there. And look, it's prison quality. Here's my other one. I'm so proud
what
of
it. What is it, mother? No.
No, it's the...
It's, well, because you were dating a girl.
I was dating a girl named Donna, and so that's supposed to be a D, but I've since said it's zero, which was the brain cells that went into something
like that. It's beginning
to
all come together for me, because I said, what kind of thinking did you have?
It was no thinking. It was stupidity.
It's called inebriated thinking.
Which was kind of funny now that everybody's getting tattoos. Like, I mean, I just met a guy in Maryland that's like sleeves, his legs. I mean, I was like, dude, I'd have to read you. It'd take me a week.
I kind of don't mind it because it's pretty good camouflage, you know.
You could get it on your face. Then you wouldn't have any more face paint because now that's
some
the
people
thing.
Do it.
Oh, yeah, they're putting it on their face.
Yeah, I did a lot of stupid things. I'm a very sinful man, but getting a tattoo never crossed my mind.
Well, it's something I regretted. And then some people say, well, you know, you should get something to cover it up because now everybody's getting tattoos. But I thought, you know, it was stupid for me the first go around. So I'm done with that. I'm waiting till it gets cheap and easy to take it out. But so far, amazingly, because I've looked into it, it's expensive to get them removed. And it takes you like all these laser treatments over a long period of time. And
it's not worth it.
Yeah. So it's not worth it. So I'm just like, you know what? It was a dumb move. I used to do it when I'd speak to youth groups and stuff. I'd show them that about it. This is why you don't drink at 16 to get drunk and make stupid decisions. So anyway. But I'm not down on people in ink work. Apparently people love it now.
I mean, to me.
Look at your son, Reed, is – how many has he got?
Tons.
And Alex has them too.
I don't know.
I don't really have a thing with it. Some people like, you know, there's a verse somewhere and – I don't know, Ezekiel or someplace where it was kind of negative, and so people are like, it's not godly, you know.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it whatsoever. I mean, that if that was the old law, that has been done, and it's over. And
the good thing is I'll always know who I am if I ever get dementia. I got the name right there.
Plus, that reminds you, don't be stupid anymore.
That's right. I look at like it and say, some people don't today, drink bottles of tequila. That's
some people today, they'll do like the gospel signal, you know, with the arrow coming down and the cross, and they'll have the tomb and the arrow going back up. And so I'm like, you know what? Okay.
So let's take a quick break. And then we've got one question, which actually can lead to something a little bit more serious that we'll get to in a minute. So, Sheila, that was Tommy, by the way.
Well, I wanted to say that, you know, I don't know if I've shared this before, but my most disturbing encounter was a woman. I was at an Academy store promotion. This is like year one of Duck Dynasty. When was it?
2012.
So 2012, I get there too early. So I see the Academy, you know, but I'm there too early. I drove. So I pull on the other side of the parking lot to wait till the time. It's like 12:30 was when I was supposed to be there, and I get there at 12. Well, this old beat up Volkswagen pulls up, and couple gets out with a kid. So I'm assuming married couple, and the girl is just screaming, "I'm your biggest fan." I rolled down my window. "How you doing?" You know, "I'm your biggest fan." I was like, "Really?" Because, you know, I'm like, this is not my time yet. I'll be over there in just a second. You know, I think it was Lafayette was where it was at. And she's like,
"No." You sound like Jesus and John 2. "My time has not yet come."
She's like, "No, I am." And I went, "Yeah." And when she did that, she said, "No, I'll show you." And so she started unbuttoning her shorts. She had a little kind of tank top on and shorts. And I was thinking, "Well, where's this going?" She peels down the shorts and underwear, and there's a fresh tattoo of the Duck Commander logo in a place that she shouldn't be showing me. So I look immediately at what I think is her husband, thinking, "This has gotten awkward." And he did this.
"Help me do something."
He did this. He went, an affirmative nod. I look over at the kid, and he's like,
got his hands over his eyes.
He's got his hands over his eyes. We're in the middle of a shopping center parking lot.
And she's pulling her pants down. She
pulled her pants down and showed me a tattoo. When you were talking about the tattoos, and I thought, how under the influence were you? I mean, to tattoo the Duck Commander insignia on a place that only your husband should see, but now I'm in that camp.
You can't unsee it.
Yeah, here's what's funny.
One walked up to me and started pulling her pants down. I said, "Easy, easy." I said, "You're getting down in a no man's land." And she said, I said, "What are you doing?" And of course, there was some dude there with her. And she said, "Will you sign here?"
No, I would have said, absolutely not.
I said, "So you want me to autograph the lower part of your tummy?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't know about that one."
Well, that's vague.
She said,
You got to be more definitive.
She looks at her boyfriend or husband, whoever it was. She said, "The reason I want you to do that is I'm pregnant. And I know you're a Jesus man. So I just thought it might help my pregnancy." And I said,
"Oh, gee whiz.
Well, since you put
you did it,
it way,
didn't you?
Yeah. I mean,
well, look, you've tried to rationalize
it. Was one of these deals like this." So I just.
All the things you've done for the Almighty.
Put my name on it. A year goes by, I'm at the same event. And some woman walks up with a child in her arms. She said, "You remember me?" And I said, "It seemed like I've seen you." You know, I didn't know who she was. And she said, "I was the one you said." It all came out great. And I thought, well, good for you.
There you go.
Here, sign my child's forehead now.
She showed me her child, and, you know, he was a healthy child. So
I wouldn't have told Miss Kay that story.
I don't think I ever did tell her that.
What's funny is I'm in the event, you know, and 100 people in, and here's this girl again. She's like, now she stood in line, and she's like, "Remember me?" And I was like, "Yeah. I will never forget you."
I can't not.
That was classified in Disturb fans, but you were talking about the tattoos. I just thought I'd share one of my weird.
So what other questions you got there?
Well, I've got time probably for one question, and this one I thought was funny, but then also another person, Sheila, said she loved her podcast. She said, "We know Jace was smart when it came to women," which I laughed when I read that because I thought, why would she think that? But then I think she meant because you talked about only dating Missy, or only, you know, that you missed. I think that's what she meant. And she said, "Did Willie ever have problems with women?" which I thought was pretty funny. I don't know.
You know,
I mean, he had a couple of girlfriends, but I don't think.
I think Willie kind of, for the most part,
I think he did pretty well.
Yeah, didn't have any major problems.
He certainly married. He certainly way out kicked the covers by marrying Corey. For him, I mean, Corey's great. She's been. I mean, together they're amazing, but. She's a tremendous woman. So I don't know that he did. I thought it was funny. But then Cole from Minnesota said, and I thought this was good, Jace, how did you motivate yourself to wait on God to bring you your wife, and what do you need in your life to prepare for a healthy relationship? Which I thought was a pretty good question.
That's a good question. I think the number one thing I did in high school, because, you know, I didn't look like this. I was athletic. You know, I had girls interested is what my point is.
You look normal, yeah.
But every time I sensed any kind of darkness or any kind of, like if they ever used a four-letter word, oh, I'm out. I am just, that was the biggest thing I did was, you know, because I rearranged my schedule 1 year when I was a junior because I saw this girl. You know how you have love at first sight? And I thought, that's the girl I'm going to marry. I mean, she just looked like a goddess. So I rearranged my schedule. I dropped French because I was failing anyway. And I stalked her a little bit and figured out her schedule. And I realized she was in like a home ec class. And so I changed my schedule to get in that class. So I walked in and the only seat open was right behind her. And I thought, this is a sign from God. I've already made the decision. I've rearranged my schedule.
You dropped
so her. You love her and you're ready to spend the rest of your life with her.
I am in love with this
but
woman.
But she doesn't know this.
She doesn't. Never even met me.
If only you had known French, you could have said something romantic. Let's take one last break and finish the story.
So I immediately make my move. I don't wait. I said,
I love you and will you marry me?
No, I just said, I said, of all the seats to be open behind the best looking woman in here. That's what I said.
That was your line.
Pretty good line.
Not bad.
And she turned around and kind of said something funny. And then about the 10th word, she dropped an F-bomb. Not in a negative way.
And you're thinking, and look, you're thinking, surely not.
I thought, well, there went that dream.
Apparently,
I'm no longer in love with that one.
And then I had.
Using French. That was the problem. If you'd only not see, that was her version.
Then I had to gut out that class. And look, then I looked around. I was the only guy in there. I mean, you're talking about a dumb stunt. That's the equivalent to getting a tattoo all over a girl that I didn't know.
And now you had to sit behind her the whole semester.
And just foul mouth, on drugs, just a thug. She just looked awesome. But the rest of her was a nightmare. And trust me, I bet she didn't look that way for long. You know, when you're 16, you can get away with a lot. But yep.
So, and she didn't say, excuse my French either, did she?
So what I did was I quit trying to, number one, that taught me, quit looking at the outward. I mean, I'm just not worried about that.
Which is beautiful.
About the time I said I'm done with girls, because they just, I couldn't find one that I thought was spiritually minded, and about the time I said I'm done with them, that's when I met Missy.
Yeah.
Because I was dating a girl who was.
When did you decide you loved her?
Well, that was tricky because
so it wasn't love
I would
at first
say
sight.
No, because I just thought this won't work. Because I thought she looks way too good. She's way too. I looked at her as kind of yuppie-fied, and because she went to a private school,
she
and,
got a little yuppishness about her.
Yeah, and they were kind of uppity, like. And I just thought this ain't gonna work. She's way too good looking for this to work. That's what I was thinking.
Basically, she's out of your league.
That's what I thought. I thought this won't work. So I would say it took about a year and a half. And actually, you'll remember this. We had been dating a year and a half. No, I love, you know, and all that. I mean, we kissed a little bit, but it just wasn't that physical, and there was no mention of love for a year and a half. But we were at a camp out, which is right across from our property, the dog. We were on Franklin's property.
Hmm.
We had a house church camp out.
I remember that camp out.
Yeah. We were out there in the trees.
We used to do them fairly recently. Yeah,
we sang songs, you know. Everybody brought sleeping bags. It got real cold, you know. And so we were snuggling under the sleeping bag. I've been real clear. I waited till I got married before there was any kind of things going on. So I think I asked her if she loved me. I think that's how it got started.
The camp out.
Yeah, I said, do you love me?
So you didn't say, I love you. You asked her first.
I said, do you love me? And she said.
Boy, you were really putting it out there. I mean, if you get a no there. That
I thought it was a profound
camp out
question.
Over. Yeah.
She said, I love you. And she said, do you love me? And I went, yep.
That was the day.
She got mad, though. So then I thought, well, maybe not. Because she got mad because all I said was, yep. She said, well, say it. I said, yep.
That's why you didn't say it. You asked her that day.
I know.
Dad move there. That was
always, to this day, Miss K asks me that all the time.
Oh, she wants you to say it.
Do you love me? She
wants
me to say
Phil, it. I think at 70, however old you are, you need to say it at this point. You need to go after we finish it. You didn't walk down there and say, "Kay, I love you."
Do it on camera.
I think I've said it more in the last couple of years. I'm getting into my 70s now. I thought, you know, by the time I get to be in my 80s, if I don't start telling her I love her at some point, she may
Phil,
start
you need doubting. To do it unprovoked. Don't wait till she asks.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to do it.
Yeah, when she stood over my bed that time,
and I
opened one eye, and I she was just standing there, and I said, I was like.
How's it going?
What do you want? I mean, I didn't say, what do you want? I just thought, kind of like, why are you standing over me? And she said, do you love me? And I said, yeah. And she said to me, write it down. And I said,
write it down in blood.
Yeah. I said, write it down. I said, I'll do that. So I just turned it over and went to sleep. The next morning, I get up, and there's a piece of paper, a blank sheet of paper, and a pen.
And ready for you to write down
in
what
my chair.
Said.
I had my coffee in my hand. I looked down. I said, that woman,
she's serious.
Write it down. So I wrote down on a piece of paper, Miss K, I love you. I always have. I always will. I signed my name, and I set it up on the head of the chair. Well, I came back. It's gone. I went out running my nets or whatever, came back, it was gone. This was way back, way, way back. Look, I looked that evening when I came in to get in my bed, take me a nap. I looked over that she had taped it on her side of the bed to the bed rail on the back. She had taped that. It's still there.
Yeah, I saw it recently. Yeah. It's kind of tearing now and yellowed.
I'm like...
Well, that's
so
how
that's
much
when
you
I,
to her.
That's when I came to a strong, studied opinion and a conclusion that when God made women, Al, he made very strange creatures.
Well,
tell them you love them.
That's all I have to say.
Tell them you love them.
We got to go.
Yeah, we got to go. Good question to end on. Thank you, Cole, for that and all the other questions. We'll probably answer a few more on the next podcast because we had some good stuff that you guys are sending us. Keep watching. Keep listening. Check out In the Quarantine with Phil over on Blaze TV. I think you might like that. Learn some good stuff as well. And we'll see you next time. So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook. And be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.